Well, I have to say that our evening communion service is one of my favorite services because we must focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, which we always should do, and focus upon the significance of the Lord's Supper. So I want to focus in on one verse. Actually, I just want to focus in on three words. And the three words are, until he comes, until he comes. But open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Because here we have this statement that is sort of this final statement that we have about the Lord's Supper, at least in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And that is this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. One of the things that's interesting to think about as far as the Lord's Supper is concerned is to think also about Passover. Because the Lord's Supper and Passover are sort of joined together. One is the Old Testament, the other is the New, but they are the same time. And if you look at Exodus chapter 12, where Moses and where God himself institutes the Lord's Supper. This was an ordinance that they were to keep. Now, the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of Passover was about the final plague in Egypt that was to set the children of Israel free. And the final plague was the death of the firstborn. And so all over Egypt, when this night would come, the firstborn would die. Unless, as the children of Israel were told, unless the blood of the lamb was sprinkled on the doorposts of the home. So you have a picture of the blood of the lamb sparing the home of death and sparing the home of sorrow and grief. It was really a saving act that they would take and kill the lamb, sprinkle the blood on the top of the post and on the two sides. And when the death angel came and saw the blood of the lamb, the death angel passed over that home. That's why we have the Passover. And passed over the home. And we say, well, this was a wonderful thing to remember. And when you look at the Old Testament, let me look at chapter 12 and verse 14. And the Lord says, this is something I want you to do now, and I want you to remember for the future. So he says, so this day you So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So I want this to be a permanent ordinance for you as a nation, is what he is saying. And then turn over the page to verses 25 through 28, and it says, it will come to pass when you come into the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our household. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. This question about why are we doing this continually? Was to force the people to think. Sometimes we need to be forced to think. But they were to think about, why did the Lord who delivered us in this manner, why does he want us to continue to think about this? And why does he want us to continue to take the lamb and kill the lamb and sprinkle the blood on the doorposts? I know it's to remember that he delivered us and saved us out of Egypt. But what is the significance of keep on doing this and doing this and doing this? And what would have really been nice is if you would have been there when they asked that question, because you could have told them the significance. Because the significance is that it's not the blood of the Lamb, but it is the blood of the Lamb of God. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole point of keeping this feast was so that when Jesus Christ came, they would say, behold, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. This is God's Lamb. This is the sacrifice that will save us. Not just from the Egyptians, but save us from sin and death. It is God's provision to save us eternally. This is a great truth. But what happened with the children of Israel as they performed this year after year after year, and sometimes they did, and often they did not. But as they performed this, it became a ritual. And when I speak of a ritual, there's a good thing about being a ritual. There's a bad thing about being a ritual. The bad thing about it is that you perform it without thinking. You don't know what you're doing. You just take the Passover lamb, you slay it, you eat it as a family, and you have a good evening together. Sprinkle the blood on the doorpost, and you have to wash it off. But you have to do that, and you do all these things. And when someone said, why do you do this? They said, well, we were supposed to. I was told to do it. But they forgot to look of the onward, forward significance. Same thing with the sacrificial system. They were offering sacrifices and sacrifices and sacrifices. Every sacrifice, the Day of Atonement, sacrifice, sacrifice. You know, and somebody should have said, is there an end to this sacrifice? Is there a fulfillment? Is there a final sacrifice? All those questions would have been great to ask. But when Jesus came, they were under the idea that you can keep the law and accomplish your own salvation. You don't need a Savior. You can save yourself. And so that was sort of the belief. So when Christ comes as the Lamb of God, we don't need a lamb. We don't need his blood. We don't need for death and sin to pass over us because of the blood of the Lamb. So then the Lord institutes the Lord's Supper for us. And the Lord's Supper always has to have a forward look. In fact, when you look at the Lord's Supper, there's a past, there is a present, and there is a future. It's all right here. And the past, Jesus Christ established with his disciples when, well, again, look at Matthew chapter 26, since we're looking at these passages. Look at Matthew chapter 26. This is a statement of the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper. It's pretty much the same in all of the Gospels. And Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 says this, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Imagine Jesus Christ doing this, and he takes the bread and he holds that like this. He said, this is my body. And they look at him and they say, well, there is your body. This is your body. So they knew this was representing his body. Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them. Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus Christ was then arrested and then crucified. And this Lord's Supper has this past significance It was all sort of future when Jesus Christ instituted, but it has a past because it always points us to the cross of Jesus Christ. Future for the disciples, past for us. But we look back at the cross, and the bread represents substitutionary atonement, that Jesus Christ took our place, he took our sin, he took our wrath, he took our judgment, he secured our forgiveness, he clothed us in his righteousness when we believe in him. We are fully forgiven and fully righteous and forgiven as we can ever be. It is a complete work of God at the cross of Jesus Christ. We're always looking back at that. When you have doubts in your life, you go back to the cross. When you're thinking about assurance, you go back to the cross. You don't find assurance or confidence in your own heart. You're always looking back to the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing this evening when you take these elements. It's the finished work. It's the full forgiveness. Furthermore, this work is not yet done and completed in others, because though it is a finished work and complete, our experience is part way. Because Jesus Christ secured our justification, he secures our sanctification, and he has secured our glorification. It's finished, it's done. We're, by experience, in the middle. I mean, we are justified. When we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and the full forgiveness of our sins, the Father looks at us and says, "You are perfect." That's our standing before God. Never forget your standing before God. Because you're not going to feel like it's your standing, but it is your standing. So you come and to be declared righteous is God looking at you in the forgiveness of Christ and in the righteousness of Christ and saying, "You are perfect. You measure up to every righteous and holy standard that I have. You are 100% all in Christ, all because of Christ." And then we start to live the Christian life because God says, "I want you to walk through this victory. I want you to walk through sin." I say, "Well, I don't want to sin anymore." God says, "Well, you're going to walk through sin and you're going to experience the forgiveness of your sins and you're going to experience the forgiveness of the cross in your life. Sin no longer has dominion over you. God broke the power of sin at the cross. You're going to walk through this. It is not going to conquer you. It is not going to destroy you." And I always say, if I had could have had, raised my hand and said, "How about if we just take it completely away? I don't want to sin anymore." And God says, "I want you to see the victory, what Christ has accomplished for you." I'm not encouraging sin. I'm just saying, as you experience sin, what you're experiencing with sin is the full forgiveness of God. And I don't want to die. We're all dying, but I don't want to die. And God said, "I want you to walk through that too." So in our experience, we're sort of, the way I say this, and it's kind of a crazy way of saying it, I say we're like half-baked cookies. You know, a half-baked cookie is in the oven. It's going to be done. It's not quite a perfect illustration. But if you touch it, it's still not cooked. You know, you go, "Well, that's not..." Kind of good anyway, a little bit halfway done, but no, that's not good. And so you wait until it's done. We're half-baked cookies and so are the people in heaven. The saints in heaven, I think they're sanctified. I think they're justified. I think they're fully sanctified. They're waiting for glory. Why are they waiting for glory? Because when Christ comes, we shall be glorified. You can tell that because their bodies are still in the ground or still in the ocean or still somewhere. But God is going to put all the pieces back together and he's going to reunite his body, soul, and spirit because Jesus Christ secured the victory over death. And as long as bodies are in the ground, death has a victory. It will not have the victory. So there's this future, even for all of us. We're all looking for what Jesus Christ is going to do. So this is remembering. This takes us back to the cross. We say, "I go back to the cross and I see the finished and full work of Jesus Christ. And though I'm partway through my experience of this whole thing, I know that the work is finished." That's a great encouragement. And I don't have, we were talking about assurance, but I don't have assurance in me. I have assurance in the work of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for him. And he says, never forget that. Never, always look back to the cross. You never stray far from the cross when you live the Christian life. But there's a present aspect. And the present aspect is interesting to think about because Christ is with us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And Jesus Christ said, and my Father and I, Jesus Christ, we shall abide with you. We have the abiding presence of the Father and the Son in us. And we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in us. But we live by faith. And we cannot see him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the Lord? We all say that and we say, well, when he comes, we're going to see the Lord. But wouldn't it be wonderful if tonight, in partaking of the Lord's Supper, it wasn't me serving it, but Jesus? So that would be great. But we live by faith. And so we take the bread and we hold it in our hand, this piece of bread. And we say, well, this is the body of Christ. See, that looks like a piece of bread to me that is broken. Well, it's a broken piece of bread that represents the presence of Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished for us on the cross. And then we take the cup and we can hold it in our hand. And we look at this and we say, well, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is the new covenant with all of its blessings. The knowledge of God written upon my heart. It's not just in my ears. It's not just in my head. But the Spirit of God drives the Word of God down deep into my heart so that we know him. And we have the full forgiveness of our sins. The full forgiveness of our sins. And we have a new heart for God, a new spirit. We're born again and have a desire for the things of God. And we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Those are all new covenant blessings that were promised. I'm going to establish a new covenant with you. That's the new covenant blessings that were promised to us. It says in John that the Holy Spirit was with them, but he and Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be in you. That's a new covenant statement when he said that. So we have the presence of God, but we don't have him. Well, he is here. You know, God is everywhere, Father, Son, and Spirit everywhere. But there's a very special presence that God has in each one of us. You have the full presence of God in you, not a piece of God in you. You have the full presence of God in you. And so do I, and so does every other believer in Jesus Christ. We have the fullness of God's presence in us, but we live by faith. So Jesus gives us something to hold in our hand. And he gives something in the cup that we put in our hand. He said, this represents my body which is broken for you. Take that and eat it, because that pictures your faith and trust that you live because of what I did at the cross. And take the cup and you drink the cup, because that new covenant belongs to you. So we take this, which we can't see the Lord, and these represent his presence with us. And he says in this passage, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim, you're announcing something. You are really showing something. Who are you showing it to? Well, the first person you're showing it to is you. This is Christ who died for me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is the new covenant blessings from Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is announcing to my own heart and proclaiming to my own life that this Jesus that I live by faith and trust in, that he is very real in all that he gives to me. We could have a communion service that doesn't have physical elements. Have you ever thought about that? We just say, I want you on one day of the month or 2 days of the month or every time together, I want you to have a 15 or 20 second time when your mind focuses only upon Jesus. Think about Jesus. So we could have a moment of silence. We do 15, we get a whole minute where we're just focusing on Jesus and the cross of Christ and who he is and what he's going to do. And we could have this moment of silence for Christ in every church service. But that's not what we do. We have these physical representations of spiritual truth. Because God says, I'm real. Jesus says, I'm real. Don't forget, I'm real. You know, in one sense, I have this much understanding of the Roman Catholic Church, with the priest taking the elements and saying, holding them up in the air and saying, this is the body of Christ. And you put it down, and what's happened is a transformation where this becomes the body of Christ, and when you partake of it, you're taking grace. I'm not for any of that. But I'm just simply saying, the idea that Christ is present is an important aspect of this whole service. That's what this represents. A physical representation of a spiritual truth. And that's most important. And Luther said, well, there's somehow a spiritual presence in these elements. But it represents Christ himself in a physical presence with us. And we don't eat grace when we eat this. We eat this because we have grace. And we eat this because we're not getting grace, and then we can go out. You can give, if it's just eating Christ, you turn the elements in that, you can eat Christ on one day and go out and live like a sinner all the rest of the days and just come back and eat. You're just saved by the supposed eating of grace. We have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a heart relationship with God. Christianity is not about putting things in your mouth. It's about the truth that's in your heart for God. But here we have this physical representation, and it's like a reminder. So it's a reminder of the gospel. We partake of the Lord Jesus Christ because he saves us, and he has saved us by grace through faith in Christ alone. And so we're reminded that it is the gospel and our responsibility with evangelism. It's a reminder of the assurance that we have in this one, this Jesus Christ, this is my assurance. And also a reminder of worshiping him and being so thankful for all that he has done. All of this is the present aspect of what's taking place here. I'm not suggesting anything other than these are the elements that represent Jesus Christ. But I am saying that they do represent him in a physical way. Because he is a physical person. That brings us to the last part here. Until he comes. Until he comes. Some people look at this statement, until he comes, and the question they have is, well, when he comes, will we partake of the Lord's Supper anymore after that? Or will there be this final taking of the Lord's Supper? And I have a good answer for that. I don't know. That's for the Lord to declare. We may be taking of the Lord's Supper, but that's not what the meaning is here. The meaning here is, there's always something missing from the communion service. There's always something missing from this service. And that is the Lord's presence. The Lord being here. He says, I want you to partake of this. I want you to have these physical representations of me, which you partake of. I want you to have this, pointing back to the past and the cross, but I want you to have this present with you all the time, because it's not complete until the Lord himself comes again. Until the Lord himself serves the Lord's Supper. He may do that at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we all partake of these elements which represent him. And there he is handing out these again, as he did to the disciples. Now he shall do it to us. And he is present as the Savior that he is, with his presence, so that we stand and we don't, we're living always by trusting him and always by faith in him, but really we're living by sight in him. He's with us. And he can say, these elements represent me, but now I'm here. This is the fulfillment of the Lord's Supper, is when he's here. That's why there's always something missing. You walk away from the Lord's Supper, there's always something lacking. And what is that? It's Christ himself being here in the fullness of all that he is. So he says, partake of these elements until I come. Until I come. Because you see, when I come, that is the full expression of all this, because when we partake of these elements, we're not going to be half-baked cookies. We're going to be justified, sanctified, and glorified. And we're going to take these elements and partake of these elements as the glorified body of Christ. That's an amazing thing. And then that's the perfect communion service. That will be the perfect communion service. Perfect for us, perfect for Christ. But that's what this points toward. So no, we're not just, you know, most of the time when you partake of the Lord's element, you're thinking about the cross, and you should think about the cross. There's a little cross on the top of both of those little plates, because it's reminding us of the cross of Jesus Christ, rightly so. But he's present with us. And there's the reality of his presence with us when you hold something in your hand. I'm not suggesting that he's being held in your hand. I'm just saying the reality of something that represents in a physical form. And Christ says, you do this until I am actually present. And that's the great hope that we have. No matter what your view of the future is, we should all live daily in expectation of the coming of the Lord. That is our hope. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're thinking of the cross. We're thinking of our faith and trust in this Savior who saves us and living by faith. And we're thinking, he's coming. The fullness of all of the promise, he's coming. And all of the promises of God and all of the truth of God and all the fullness of all that God has said that he will do is complete in him. All of that has to be true with reference to partaking of these elements. Past, present, and future. And so you look at this and you say, you see all three of those here. And remember also that when we partake of these elements, Christ is delighted with your worship of him. Christ is delighted with your worship of him. You're saying, I am a believer in Jesus Christ that I cannot see, though he was broken for me. And I eat this because of my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's as if he's standing right here. And I take the cup and I drink it because all of the blessings that we shall have throughout all eternity under the terms of the new covenant, which he established at the cross, that's for me. And it's all mine. I don't say drink half the cup or just look at it, put the cup down. Just be thankful you could hold the cup for a moment. No, he says drink it. It's yours. You're a full partaker of the new covenant blessings. God is accomplishing his purposes with the Gentiles. God is accomplishing his purposes with the Jews. But never forget, the fullness of the promise will be accomplished in all of us. All that God is accomplishing. There's no Gentile new covenant and Jewish new covenant. There's only one new covenant. We're all for full partakers. We're brought into the promises of God. And he shall come to us and say, here we are. We are all under the blessings that I accomplished at the cross for you. So it's wonderful to partake of the Lord's Supper, past and present and future elements, always involved in that until he comes. The day will come. We will celebrate the Lord's Supper like we've never celebrated it before. We will be in his presence, glorified because of all that he accomplished for at the cross. He'll be with us, rejoicing in the fact that he has faithfully fulfilled every promise that he made to us. We have a great hope in him. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful that you are so concerned with the life that we live today that you give us physical representations of spiritual truths. When we believe, we're baptized in water. And we are, in a sense, as pointing, identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are washed through the finished work of Christ. It's very physical. And we partake of these elements, a very physical representation, knowing that it's a very poor representation of the actual Son of God, Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet it's a very physical representation of our partaking of him in order that we live, because of the finished work of the cross. And we look forward to his coming so that we will stand in his presence with everything completed. We're thankful that we partake of the Lord's Supper in faith and in hope. Faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us, in hope of all that shall be finished and fulfilled and completed in Christ. We're so thankful that you're summing up all things in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're accomplishing that even today. So Lord, we worship you. We're thankful that you are present with us. We're thankful that you, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. And Father, you abide in us. And Jesus Christ abides in us. So we're thankful for your presence with us. We're thankful for this representation of your presence. And we're thankful that Jesus is coming. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So bless this bread as we partake of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.